We are honored today to have Michael Rosenzweig with us. Rav Rosenzweig occupies the Nathan and Pearl Schupf Chair in Talmud at the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary of Yeshiva University. He is a 1980 graduate of Yeshiva College and earned an MA and a PhD from the Bernard Revel Graduate School of Jewish Studies. Rabbi Rosenzweig was appointed a Rosh Yeshiva, a member of the Reitz faculty in 1985. He has written extensively, contributing to numerous journals of Torah learning. In 1997, Rav Rosenzweig was appointed Rosh Kollel of the prestigious Israel Henry Berin Institute for Higher Talmudic Studies at Reitz, where some of the best YU students today are learning. Personally, I was privileged to have Rav Rosenzweig for 4 years at Yeshiva, where I not only learned a derech in Talmudic study, but I also gained a world view. And through Rav Rosenzweig Shiurim, the students saw a deep commitment to Torah study. We saw a multifaceted and complex world of Torah and a view of the modern world. And lastly, an emphasis on maximizing a person's Avodat Hashem rather than minimizing it and choosing the easy way out. I look forward to hearing him again and seeing these ideas, and I present Rav Michael Rosenzweig on Yerushalayim, the center of the Jewish people.
Firstly, Poskin Bechvod Achsanya, I want to thank Rabbi Lubetzky and all the various people who've sponsored this, what I understand is an inaugural Kol Yom Rishon program. The program really is a wonderful program, and we enjoyed very much in New York, and I'm sure that it'll have great impact here as well. And it's particularly a pleasure for me to be here in Yeshivas Rambam. As Rabbi Lubetzky already noted, he's a Talmud of mine and somebody who I'm very proud of, and gives me always a great sense of personal pride and nachas to be speaking in you know, one of the shuls or schools of Talmidim. It really is just a kiyum of v'shinantam levanecha, the idea that there's a definite relationship between children and Talmidim, and to see one of your own flourishing and contributing is really very heartening. This week marks a very important milestone in modern Jewish history, one might even say in Jewish history. 40 years since the liberation of the Ir HaAtika, the old city of Yerushalayim, the reunification of Yerushalayim as the unified capital of Medinat Yisrael, the modern state of Israel, and by extension, therefore, of Klal Yisrael. Those of us who were alive at the time, I wasn't that old, but I was still alive by then. Difficult for anyone who experienced it to forget the initial panic, fear, when Israel was in the situation that it was in 1967. But what was particularly striking was how quickly things turned to the sense of excitement and exhilaration, an outpouring of emotions, of gratitude and hope, when we began to hear the reports, Yerushalayim bi'adenu, Yerushalayim is in our hands, being cried with great emotion by the chayalim who were there and giving their lives, Harabayit bi'adenu, Hakotel bi'adenu. It really was a time that was unforgettable for anyone who lived through it, even those of us who were a little young at the time. A time of great relief, but of joy, of shevach and hodah to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the special hashkacha, special divine providence to be given once again the opportunity to experience and to have the impact of Yerushalayim. Not only then for the miracle of survival at a very critical and dangerous time in the Six-Day War, but especially for the spiritual significance of the events that took place, as well as the euphoria that prevailed in the aftermath of the Six-Day War, and the sense that there was a tremendous opportunity to capitalize on the reawakening of Jewish identification in the secular Jewish community in Israel and worldwide. It was really a very remarkable time. In the four decades that have followed, Yerushalayim has become part of the fabric, I think, of all of our lives. It's inconceivable for any of us to think of Medinat Yisrael, trips to Israel, connections to Israel, without thinking of the Kotel and the Yir Atika. It's become something which we are all deeply connected to. There have been many achievements, many attainments. Anybody who goes to Yerushalayim today and sees this, the remarkable building and institutions that exist there, the impact that Yerushalayim has had, cannot be anything but incredibly impressed. Unfortunately, there have also been some disappointments. The euphoria, the aftermath of that victory, in the sense that the whole Jewish world would be galvanized spiritually, that we could upgrade and unite world Jewry and raise their spiritual level, that promise, unfortunately, was not fully realized. And therefore, there has been some disappointment in the inability to capitalize on Yerushalayim's reunification. And, of course, in recent times, the cruel irony that the Ir Shechubra Yachtav, the city which should unite the Jewish people, has also become a source of divisiveness and fragmentation when people speak, sometimes insensitively, of what the final boundaries of Eretz Yisrael should be, should there be a peace treaty. Some people at least, who consider parts of Eretz Yisrael, parts of Yerushalayim, I should say, to be expendable. The fact is that even as we take for granted access to Yerushalayim and the role that it plays in our lives, it becomes crucial for us to joyously observe Yom Yerushalayim, to appreciate those events, but also to reflect on the lost opportunities and to redouble our efforts to try to revisit those opportunities and to implement them. It's been 40 years. Chazal tell us, the Mishnah in Avos speaks about 40 years as the source of Bina. That's true not only in an individual's lifetime, but looking back at events as well. The idea of Bina is really the idea of perspective. We have the benefit of that perspective, and we also have the same sense, hopefully, of wonder and excitement about what it is that took place 1967. But mostly we need to focus on the struggle not only for the political future of Yerushalayim, which of course is crucial, but also for Yerushalayim's spiritual legacy that I alluded to before, which unfortunately has not been fully taken advantage of or capitalized upon. Yerushalayim is not only a location, it's a concept in halacha, which I want to speak about today, one which is meant to be implemented and instantiated in the Kedushas HaMakom Asher Yivchar that is Yerushalayim. But as I say, the concept is one which is compelling as well. Therefore, I'd like to focus my remarks on the spiritual and halachic significance of and relevance of Yerushalayim to us today as the unified capital of the Jewish people, so that we can, again, reflect and then rededicate ourselves to trying to implement as ambitiously as possible, being true to this legacy. Chazal tell us that Yerushalayim is Oro Shel Olam, literally the light of the world. It illuminates the world. And again, not only the place, but the concept of what Yerushalayim is supposed to be to the Jewish people. Shivim Shemos LYerushalayim. Yerushalayim is known in 70 different names, which isn't just a big number. Shivim is a number which we associate in Chazal with world cultures. It's almost as if Chazal are telling us the entire world, every culture, every perspective relates in some significant way to Yerushalayim. Hasid Yerushalayim lehiasos metropolin lechol hamedinos, we're told in Shir HaShirim Rabbah. Yerushalayim indeed will be an international city, as we read in Tanakh. Not in the way that some of the nations of the world would have it, namely a city without any individual sovereignty, the way we understand it, of course, as the unified capital of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, it will also be a spiritual magnet to the rest of the world. Asidin Yerushalayim sheiskabsu betocha kol hagoyim v'kol hamamlachos. Yerushalayim literally will be the center of the world. Eretz Yisrael be'emtza ha'olam, we're told. Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the world. Yerushalayim be'emtza Eretz Yisrael. For this reason, the discussion of the political future of Yerushalayim is one which, to those of us who are observant Jews, who care about the halacha, who care about Chazal, and simply those Jews who care about Jewish history, is one which is very emotional. The Mishnah tells us in Moed Katan, Daf Chabad Mod Aleph, Elu Kara'in She'enan Mis'achim. There are certain losses that are simply irrevocable, irretrievable. There is no way to repair the damage. And that is symbolically captured in Hilchos Avelos by the halacha that when you rend the garment, when you tear the garment, normally you're allowed to sew it back together, or at least fasten it back together. But there are certain karaim, elu karaim she'enan mis'achim, which are irretrievable. And one of them, prominent among them, karaim she'enan mis'achim, hakorea al Yerushalayim. So we understand the centrality of Yerushalayim in Jewish terms, but it's important that we also understand what its spiritual legacy is. It's the ir shechubra layachdav, the city which is meant to promote Jewish unity, the ir she'osa kol Yisrael chaverim, the shah shasham, olu Yisrael v'hashvatim l'regel, it's the ir she'mechaberes Yisrael zelazel. It's supposed to be the source of unity and unification of Klal Yisrael. Indeed, Yerushalayim plays a wide-ranging role in all of our lives. Chazal tell us, B'kriya Shema Hu Omer Bonei Yerushalayim HaParei Sukkah Shalom Aleinu V'al Kol Amo Yisrael Be'al Yerushalayim, part of Birchas Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, which focuses on Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, relates directly to Yerushalayim. The Tefillah, which is a totally different idea than Kriya Shema, the idea of Omeid Lefnei Hashem, standing in Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence as someone who is undeserving, someone who introspects and realizes his insignificance, but tefillah as well, mazkirim bonei Yerushalayim. And then Birkas Hamazon, which is again a third very, very different theme, the achalta, the savato, veirachta, in the context of one's display of gashmius and hanam and ha'olam hazeh, there too, omrim bonei Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is an idea which pervades our lives in all sorts of ways. But the question is, how do we understand what its spiritual legacy is? If we look in the world of Kedusha, of sanctity, just as there is a concept or a hierarchy of Kedushas Hazman, the sanctity of time, so too there is a concept of Kedushas Hamakom. Kedushas Hazman is something we're all familiar with. Shabbos, the Yomim Tovim, Yom Kippur, the Shabbos Shabboson, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed. Obviously, different levels of Yisra Malacha reflecting different types of Kedusha, different themes. So too, in the world of Makom, of geography, there are different levels of Kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash, of course, particularly the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Makom HaAron, place of the Kruvim, the Evin Shesia, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, Perek Aleph, tells us, Eser Kedushasheim, there are 10 levels of sanctity, Eretz Yisrael, Mekudeshes Mikol HaRatzos, Eretz Yisrael is the most sanctified of all cities, and then they list the various levels. One of which is, Lifnim Menachoma, inside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's a level of Kedusha, Sham, Ochlim, Kodshim, Kalim, there one can eat Kodshim, Kalim, certain types of Kodshim, not the Kodshim Kodashim of Achatas, an Asham, etc., which can only be eaten in the Azara of Beis HaMikdash, but the Korban Pesach, other Kodshim, Kalim, Shlamim, they can be eaten throughout the city of Yerushalayim, but not beyond Yerushalayim, not anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. Misham, Ochlim, Maiso Sheni. When one tithes, one has to bring the Maaser Sheni down to Yerushalayim. It can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Basically then, if we look at the Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, the impression that we get is that there is a quantitative hierarchy of Kedusha, which includes at one pole Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Zvikol HaRatzos, and which includes as well, in the other direction, Beis HaMikdash on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in between somewhere, in one of the points in the middle, we also have Yerushalayim. This idea that there is a hierarchy of Kedushas HaMakom, which includes Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, is reflected in other sources as well. I see that the sheets were made here by Kol Yom Rishon, so we thank them. On the first, if you look on the page 2, Talmud Bavli Masechet Brachos Daf Lamed Omid Aleph, so the Gemara tells us that when it comes to Tefillah, we have a similar hierarchy. The language of the Gemara is interesting. Somebody Tad Rabbana, Suma Mishen Yachal Echabin Es Haruchos, a person who is blind and has difficulty figuring out directions. Yechabin Libo Keneged Ovid Shav Shamayim. Person has no choice and he doesn't know what's east, what's west, etc., then he should always, in his tefillos, have kavana laviv shabbat shamayim. After all, the pasuk says in Malachim, b'yispalu al Hashem, fine. However, if one can discern directions, hayomid b'chutz la'aretz yichab neslibo keneged eretz Yisrael. Shenemar b'yispalu alecha derech artzam. Hayomid b'eretz Yisrael yichab neslibo keneged Yerushalayim. Shenemar b'yispalu al Hashem derech ha'ir asher b'charta. Hayomid b'Yerushalayim yichab neslibo keneged beis hamikdash. Shenemar b'yispalu el abayis hazeh. Hayomid beis hamikdash yichab neslibo keneged beis kadshe kadashim. Basically, the Gemara says that if you know, if you have a compass or a good sense of direction, if you're in Chutz La'aretz in the diaspora, you face towards Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you face towards Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, towards the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash towards Kodesh HaKadashim. In other words, the quantitative geographic hierarchy that we spoke of before applies in the context of Tefillah. What's particularly fascinating about this Braisa in Brachos is that one could have said, very simply, wherever you are in the world, you should always daven in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadosh. It would always work. You'll always be faced in the right direction. The Gemara, though, does not say this. The Gemara seems to be emphasizing that before you get to the Kodesh HaKadosh, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you have to first pay attention to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And within Eretz Yisrael, it's not enough either to face to the Kodesh HaKadashim. You first face Yerushalayim, and so on. In other words, while there is a hierarchy of Kedusha here, each rung, each level, is one which has a certain integrity, a certain message, a certain legacy, and we should not ignore those distinctions. We have something similar in another context. The wide-ranging nature of these different sources and applications also underscores how important these various themes are. The next theme comes from the world of marriage and basic quality of life issue. What happens if a husband and wife dispute where to live? Not Baltimore, New York, or Teaneck and the 5 pounds, but what about Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz La'aretz, Yerushalayim, or somewhere else within Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah tells us in Ksuvis, the second piece here, Hakol Ma'al Meretz Yisrael ve'en Hakol Motzin, Hakol Ma'alin LeYerushalayim, ein Hakol Motzin, Echad HaAnashim, Echad HaAnashim. Gemara says if there's a dispute between the husband and wife, it doesn't matter who says what. Here, the determination is made on the basis of the higher level of Kedusha, the greater ambition. In other words, if one of them wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, or in Yerushalayim, not in Tel Aviv, that's the decision that is taken, and there can be severe consequences. I should add, obviously, Shalom Bayis is an important issue here. People should try to work things out before it gets to that point. This is not an ideal situation or ideal solution, as one imposes will on the other. But, nonetheless, it's a very fascinating halacha. If you look at the Gemara by, which is about 5 lines down, Hakol Malin La'asuyemai, La'asuye Avadim, okay, that we're skipping, to skip another 2 lines, Hakol Malin Yerushalayim La'asuyemai, La'asuye Minava Hayafa, Minava Hara'a. Ve'ein Hakol Motzin La'asuyemai, La'asuye Afili Minava Hara'a, Minava Hayafa. Basically, what the Gemara says is, even if I'm going to leave an apparently, at least financially, higher quality of life in Chutz La'aretz to go to Eretz Yisrael, or a higher quality neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Yerushalayim, nonetheless, this hierarchy of Kedusha is decisive. Nonetheless, the individual member who wants to force the issue for Eretz Yisrael, for Yerushalayim, wins the day. So basically, again, when it comes to, now we have Kedusha, we have Tefillah, when it comes to basic issue, where is one going to live, there is this hierarchy, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, in some cases, Beis HaMikdash. In the world of Tzedakah, we encounter it as well. The halacha is that Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, Kod Min Laaniyei Chutz La'aretz, all things being equal, it's a very complicated question, not for now, how one allocates one's Tzedakah money, but there is a certain priority given, all things being equal, to Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, the poor of Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, there's also halacha that Aniyei Yerushalayim, Kod Min Laaniyei Eretz Yisrael of other cities. Again, the hierarchy in both directions. However, we also encounter exceptions to these hierarchies. There are sources which indicate that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael sometimes applies even when in parallel we don't have a similar halacha about the relationship within Eretz Yisrael between Yerushalayim and other cities. Or sources that point in exactly the opposite direction. Even where Eretz Yisrael does not take priority over other lands, within Eretz Yisrael we find sometimes a special yichus, a special stature for Yerushalayim. In other words, till now I've been trying to sketch out what I called a quantitative hierarchy, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes we find that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is independent and transcends the parallel of Yerushalayim within Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes we find that Yerushalayim transcends and applies where Eretz Yisrael does not. Let me highlight it very, very quickly. Just in terms of a basic issue, what applies bizmanenu min haTorah? There's a big debate about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, whether it was permanent or not. This is a debate that takes two forms. Number one, in the time of Yehoshua, when Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, what happened after the first Korban? When the first temple was destroyed, did that nullify Kedushas Eretz Yisrael at that time, or not? Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Ashaita, the Kitchel Yasid Lava, was it a permanent Kedusha, or low Kitchel Yasid Lava? Then, even those who argue that the first Korban, the first destruction of the temple, destroyed Kedushas Haaretz, the sanctity of the land, with regard to Trumos and Maestros and Shemitah and so on. Nonetheless, the question arose again because in the time of Ezra, a smaller group called the Olei Bavel returned to Eretz Yisrael, resettled, although they didn't conquer the land, and they invested or reinvested the land with Kedusha, according to those who argue that it had been previously lost. There too, there's a debate in the Gemara whether the Kedusha of Ezra, the second Kedusha, was permanent, or it was not able to endure beyond the second Korban, the second destruction of the temple. So the Rambam's view is, on this matter, if you look here in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that there's a distinction to be made between Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam says, look at the page 3, the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, Halakha Yudalit Tazvav and Tazayin, I'm just going to read very, very quickly. The Rambam says that, 1 second. Komakom palachidal. Komakom shalonasa bekalelu kaseder hazein kadosh gamur ze asa Ezra shtei todos zikronu asa lo b'maisav niskadisha makom shalhayisham lo melech v'lorim betumim u'bamen niskadisha bekedusha rishona shekitsha shlomo shehu kidesha azara v'Yerushalayim v'shaitan v'kitsha liyasid lava. The Rambam says that the first time that Yerushalayim was invested with Kedusha, in the time of Shlomo, that was the only time, because it was a permanent Kedusha. And then he explains, before I get to the right, let me just go back to the next halacha. The Rambam says, Lepikach makrivina karbanos kulan, afa bishein sham bayis banui. That's halacha tezvav. The Rambam says, in theory, one could bring karbanos, because the makom hamikdash and Yerushalayim, their sanctity applies to zmanenu. And then the Rambam says in halacha tezayin, V'lama ani omer v'miktosh v'Yerushalayim kedusha v'shono kitzel yasid lavo u'be kedushas shar eretz Yisrael Linyan Shvius Umaisros Vikayotzabem Lo Kitchali Asid Lavo. Why is it, as I've explained elsewhere, says the Rambam, that the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael for Shemitah, for Maestros, for Trumos, for all those halachos, that was terminated when the first Korban took place. Only the Kiddush of Ezra reinvested the land, and yet Yerushalayim, once it was Niskadesh, it was permanent. It outlived the first Korban, the second Korban. That Kiddush, according to the Rambam, prevails in our day as well. Why is that true? The very famous line of the Rambam: "Lefisha Kedusha Hamikdash v'Yerushalayim b'tnei Hashchina, u'Shchina eina b'teila." The Rambam says the first kibush of Yehoshua, when he conquered Eretz Yisrael, was based on conquest. And when you destroy or overturn conquest, then you terminate the sanctity that was generated by that conquest. This is a profound idea. However, says the Rambam, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was a spiritual sanctity, had to do with the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shechina. U'Shechina eina b'teila. You can never terminate, thankfully, the Shechina. The Shechina is a permanent indwelling presence. So according to the Rambam, what emerges is that the sanctity of Yerushalayim prevailed even when there was no sanctity of the soil, at least, of Eretz Yisrael. The Ravid disagrees. Ravid says, if anything, the opposite would have to be true. The Ravid says, Hasagas Ravid, if you see in Halacha Yadalid, Bikdusha Rishon Shekit Shalom, Omer Avram, Svaras Atzmo Hizu, this is the Rambam's own opinion, Veloyadati Me'ayin Lo, Ubekamim Mekomus Be'mishna, Emein Mikdash Yirakev, Ubegemar Amru Nefol Chnechitzos, Al Malamanda Bikdusha Rishon Lo Kitchel Yasid Labo, Lo Chilek Be'in Mikdash Yerushalayim, L'shar Eretz Yisrael. The Ravid says, no, if the first sanctity was undone by the destruction of the first temple, then that affected Yerushalayim at least as much as the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Below, Ani Omer, Shafil Rav Yosid, Omer Kedusha Shnia, Kitchen, Yosid Labo, Lo Omer L'Shar Eretz Yisrael, Aval Yerushalayim L'Mikdash Lo Omer, Shehayodea Ezra, Shamikdash Yerushalayim, Asidim L'Hishtanos, U'Liskadesh, Kiddush Acher, Olami, B'Kvod Hashem, Leolam, Kein Niglali Besoda Shemli Rehav, Lefika Hanichnas Atasham Ein Bokaris. The Ravid says, in his opinion, the opposite is true. Eretz Yisrael's sanctity may be of duration, at least the one of Ezra, the second time that they invested the land with Kedusha, but Kedusha Yerushalayim never achieved that status, because Ezra knew that there would be changes to the Beis HaMikdash in the future, the third Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted that to be invested by the Ribbono Shel Olam Kivyachol himself. What comes out is that according to the Rambam, the sanctity of Yerushalayim can exist without the soil sanctity, at least, of Eretz Yisrael. And according to the Ravid, the opposite is true. Tosos in Yevamos HaPedes on the Beis opts, like the Rambam, for the view that it's possible, it's conceivable, that the soil of Eretz Yisrael loses its Kedusha, l'shaita v'lo kitchel yasid lavo, and yet Kedushas Yerushalayim will be enduring, but for a different reason. It's the Kedusha of Mechitzos, it's the walls of Yerushalayim created a certain atmosphere and environment, or it's because it's defined as Menuchaso Adeyad, or Nachalas Hashem. Whichever of these explanations is given, these are the three views of Tosas here. You see on your page, I'm not going to read it because it's a little bit late, but page 3, Tosas Yevamos, Pei Beis on the Beis, discusses this problem. Again, Yerushalayim's sanctity could exist even when Eretz Yisrael's did not. The Minchas Chinuch explained on this basis that the proclamation of New Year's or of Aver Sashana, creating leap years, New Year's, New Month, changing the years, all this should be done in Yerushalayim, Kimitzion Tetzai Torah, the Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, because even in the period when there was no Kedushas Karka, when the soil of Eretz Yisrael's sanctity had been terminated, which is the view of the Rambam after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed until Ezra came back, nonetheless, there always was Kedushas Yerushalayim, Kedushas HaShechina, She'ed B'Teila, and that could be a foundation, says the Minchas Chinuch, for Kiddush HaChodesh. On the other hand, We find the opposite perspective as well. We already encountered the Ravid, who said, it's possible that Kedushas Yerushalayim is not in full force, even if, after Ezra, Kedusha Shnia, the second investing of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, was fully effective. In other words, another discrepancy in this hierarchy, but here in favor of Eretz Yisrael, where Yerushalayim's does not. The Chasam Sofer, a very famous tshuva in Yaradeya, Simin Reish Lamed Gimel, and Lamed Dalet, suggests that the halacha of Akol Malin LaEretz Yisrael, the idea of the husband and wife having a dispute where to live, he says that bizmanenu applies with respect to the relationship between diaspora and Eretz Yisrael. But it maybe no longer applies within Eretz Yisrael between Yerushalayim and some other city. In other words, if one wants to live in Ashdod and the other one wants to live in Yerushalayim, Chasam Sofer says, in his opinion, it's possible that bizmanenu, no one has the right to force on the other. But when it comes to America and Israel, that still applies. In other words, according to the Chasam Sofer, there can be circumstances in which this hierarchy is broken again, that basically we apply the primacy of Eretz Yisrael when we do not apply the primacy of Yerushalayim. He suggests a similar idea with regard to tzedakah. The idea of Aniye Eretz Yisrael Kodmin may apply, even though it's possible that Aniye Yerushalayim do not have priority. The Chasam Sofer was also trying to justify why it is that many of the Talmidei Chachamim throughout the centuries when they moved to Eretz Yisrael did not always live in Yerushalayim. Tzlat was a center, and Tiberia was a center, etc. And this is part of his analysis and explanation. The question, of course, is why? If indeed, in tefillah and tzedakah, and where you should live, and Eser Kedushos, if there is this hierarchy, how can there be discrepancies? But it's even a little more complicated than that. Before we get to the answer, let me just build up the question a little bit more. We also find, and this is very important, the mutual impact of Eretz Yisrael on Kedushas Yerushalayim, and of Yerushalayim on Eretz Yisrael. Let me explain it just very briefly, one or two examples. Tosfos in Masechet Tmura, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, explains that Yerushalayim's special status and stature with regard to Maaseh Sheni, for example, depends on being ensconced within the framework in which there is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. If there is no Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, then Yerushalayim loses its unique status as well. That's the idea of Tosfos in Tmura. Some suggest that the Chasam Sofer's discussion is related to that point as well. And others point out that if you read the Haggadah carefully, this is implied as well. We say, Ilu hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael v'lo nasan lanu is based on the chira dayenu. If we had been given Eretz Yisrael but not the Beis HaMikdash, that would have been enough. Some of them farshim note, we never found the opposite formulation. Ilu nasan lanu Beis HaBechira v'lo Hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael, if we had been given a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan, right, but not a land, a country to live in, that would have been enough. Indeed, it's fascinating if you look at the Mishnah and Kalim that we spoke of before, Eser Kedushos, if you really count the list of the 10 sanctities, you'll find that there are 11, which is a little bit of a problem. The Mefarshim deal with this in two ways. Some suggest that there's a debate about the uniqueness or distinctiveness of one of the group, and therefore that explains the 10 or the 11. But Rav Haigon, and the Rambam clearly held this as well, suggests that one has to read it a little bit differently. The way the Rambam formulated Nevus Beis HaBechira was, I think, actually we have it here, I think, but maybe not. But if you look in Perek, I missed it by one halacha. What the Rambam did was he put Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshesi Mikol Aratzos separately, and then he listed Eser Kedushas. Rav Haigon and the Rambam understood that Eretz Yisrael's Kedusha is not part of the 10. That's why there are 11. It is the framework, it is the context in which to understand the 10. None of these 10 would be conceivable if we didn't first declare Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshesi Mikol Aratzos.
And Yerushalayim, of course, is included in that ten, in that list. That's one perspective. But we also find the interaction going in the other direction. Eretz Yisrael is enriched, enhanced by the presence of Yerushalayim in its midst. The Chasam Sofer says it so beautifully, Eretz Yisrael yonekes mikdushas Yerushalayim. It is nourished, it is sustained on the basis of Kedushas Yerushalayim. Indeed, Rav Soloveitchik once suggested a very fascinating solution to a problem, or other solutions as well. I mentioned before that the conquest of Yehoshua, according to the Rambam, invested the land with Kedusha, but that was only temporary, because once the Churban took place, the Kedusha was bata. However, the Rambam's view is that the Kedusha of Ezra, when Ezra came up with the Olei Bavel, with a much smaller group, and he's situated around Yerushalayim in a much smaller geographic area, that Kedusha, according to the Rambam, is Kitchel Ashaita, the Kitchel Yasid Lavo, is permanent. There is a bit of a problem with that. The Rambam also has another view about B.S. Kulchem, the presence of Kal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, but we're not going to discuss that right now. But the Rambam's view is basically that the first Kedusha was Batel, the second Kedusha is permanent. And all the Mefarshim ask, why? How come the first was not as durable as the second? And there are various answers given. But Soloveitchik once suggested that one answer may be that when Ezra returned with the Olei Bavel, he centered his resettlement around Yerushalayim. And in a way, to use the language of the Chasam Sofer, this second Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was inspired by, was nourished by, was yonek, the Yerushalayim itself. If this is the case, and there are other proofs for this as well, it seems like we have a very complex relationship. In some halachos, we have the hierarchy, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. In other cases, we have Eretz Yisrael independent, Yerushalayim independent. Then we have situations where Eretz Yisrael is a sine qua non, it's a necessary framework for which Yerushalayim can be meaningful. And then we have the idea that Yerushalayim basically contributes to and enhances not only itself, but the entire Eretz Yisrael. A very complicated relationship. How do we explain it? So very briefly. It seems that Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash, we'll group them together for a moment, represent two different ideas, which of course overlap a lot. Eretz Yisrael is the idea of the collective headquarters of the Jewish people. The fact is that there are many halachos that have nothing to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael that ideally, and in some cases necessarily, can be implemented only in Eretz Yisrael. Proclamation of the calendar is one. The bestowing of rabbinic ordination, classical smicha, which is the foundation of the Jewish court system. Nothing more important to the Jewish community than its court system or than its calendar. Maybe this can best be expressed by a very famous Gemara in Horios. Gemara tells us that if Bezna Gadol, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people, make a mistake, and the result is that the majority of Klal Yisrael violate an Isser, the majority, instead of each individual bringing a Korban, one Korban can be brought for the entire Tzibur. It's called the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. We speak about it in the Torah in Vayikra. However, that's if the majority violated. What if the majority did not violate, only a minority? Then each individual will bring his own korban. So the Gemara says in Horios, and how do we calculate majority and minority? What census do we take? World Jewry, right? How do we figure this out? So the Gemara says, Kahal Yisrael Shev Eretz Yisrael, Ikri Kahal. Kahal Yisrael Shev Chutz Laretz, Lo Ikri Kahal. Everybody in the world is affected because the Chet, and the need to bring a korban, applies to people not only living in Eretz Yisrael, but people living in Baltimore and New York and Toronto and India. Any Jew who makes a mistake would have to bring a korban, assuming the time of the Beis HaMikdash. However, we define the majority with respect to this question, do you bring one korban for the entire Tzibur or individual korbanos? We define that only by the population living inside the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Kahal Yisrael Sheba Eretz Yisrael, Ikri Kahal. Kahal Yisrael Sheba Chutz La'aretz, Lo Ikri Kahal. The theme of Eretz Yisrael, beyond the other detailed mitzvahs of the soil, Shemitah, Trumos, Maestros, etc., Eretz Yisrael represents the Tzibur. That Tzibur itself underwent transformation. For the first 14 years in which they entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was collective ownership of the totality of Eretz Yisrael before Kibush V'chiluk. After that, every shevet was given, and by extension, every individual stake and personal private ownership in Eretz Yisrael, but as qua a member of the Tzibur. In fact, the Gaonim suggests that there's a fictional, almost fictional kinyan that a person can make if he wants to acquire something. Every Jew has Dalet Amos Eretz Yisrael. We apply that in some ways as well in times of crisis. The truth is that Chok HaShvut, the law of Medinat Yisrael, that every Jew has a right to Eretz Yisrael, is based on this idea. Eretz Yisrael then represents the collective Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the calendar and Smicha, all the institutions that are crucial, Nevuah, prophecy, all of these take place specifically in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, of course, also relate to Klal Yisrael and the Karkon Tzibur, but they reflect a more elite implementation of that idea. Not everybody can come to the Beis HaMikdash, even less people can come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, only the Kohanim can do the Avoda. In fact, if you look at the Eser Kedushos, Eretz Yisrael is an inclusive of the Eser Kedushos. Shemisham, Nevi'im, Omer, Bikurim, Ushtei Halechem. Almost all the others, Yerushalayim may be an exception, which we'll get back to, are, this population can only go until this point, this more elite population until the next point, sometimes it has to do with Tumah V'Tahara, ritual purity, sometimes it has to do with stature, Kohanim, Kohen Gadol. Basically, the Beis HaMikdash, obviously for what it contributes to the Tzibur, focuses on a more elite, on the aspirations of individuals to achieve great heights. And this is reflected in certainly many of the dinim, including Kachim Kalim and Maisa Sheni. Chazal tell us, the Rambam quotes us in Sefer HaMitzvot, Ramban elaborates it, that the purpose, one of the purposes of Olei Regalim, of going every one of the Regalim to Yerushalayim, the purpose of Maisa Sheni is to bring individuals, to inspire them to be in contact with the people of Yerushalayim. We speak about the people of Yerushalayim as an elite, a spiritual elite. Yekirei Yerushalayim, who had certain special standards. Anshei Yerushalayim, who had special standards, how they walked around all day with their lulav. Ethical standards of Yekirei Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash is a place for the elite to aspire to even greater heights. Every individual at Klal Yisrael can be an elite, and therefore is encouraged and inspired to go to Yerushalayim, but basically it's about the opportunities of individual growth. Indeed, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah u'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Some views in Chazal say Ki mitzion teitzei Torah reflects basically on the idea of halacha, which applies to every member of Klal Yisrael. U'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that relates to Nevuah. Again, a certain spiritual elite. When we speak about Yerushalayim in the Mikdash, we speak about L'shichno Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. Rambat explains in his Perish al HaTorah, there's a quest for Yerushalayim. You can't just go to Yerushalayim or find yourself in Yerushalayim. You have to consider why you're going, how you're going. Because I'll say, when you're going to Yerushalayim, even if you know the way, you have to stop people on the way and say, I'm going to Yerushalayim, where is Yerushalayim? That's part of being Doresh, L'shichno Sidrashu, Uvasa Shama. If this is the case, and we can understand, while there's tremendous overlap, and there is a quantitative hierarchy, sometimes Kedushas Eretz Yisrael stands on its own, and sometimes the special legacy of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash stand on their own. Sometimes Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is the indispensable framework for the aspirations of Kedushas Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, and at other times It's the opposite. The very opportunities and presence of Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim in the midst of Eretz Yisrael is crucial. If this is the case, and this is essentially what the Chassam Sofer says, when he tried to justify why Gedolei Yisrael didn't always go to Yerushalayim, he said, it's true, they didn't. But when the Gedolei Yisrael ended up in Tzfat, in some respect, Tzfat became the Yerushalayim of that door. That wasn't ideal. Yerushalayim remains Mokom HaShem Yivchar. But for certain halachos, Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, Hakol Malin, it's where the Gedolei Torah are, not the Mokom itself. However, this doesn't fully answer our question. Because the distinction that I made is more of a distinction between the Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael, with Yerushalayim in the middle. Is Yerushalayim nothing more than a diluted Mikdash or an intensified Eretz Yisrael? It seems not, because there's also evidence that Yerushalayim enhances the Mikdash, and that Yerushalayim's presence, as I say, is something that is crucial to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Bava Kama, the Pei Beis on the Beis, lists 10 ingredients or 10 characteristics of Yerushalayim. I'm not going to elaborate them now. They're very wide-ranging. It's fascinating that the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, when he talks about the Eser Kedushos, the special sanctity of Yerushalayim, chose to merge the Mishnah and Kalim, which speaks about pure sanctity, ritual purity, etc., with the 10, and he actually has more than 10, matters of Yerushalayim. But the fact is that the Rambam's view is that Yerushalayim is a Kedusha in its own right. On the one hand, it's part of the Kedushas HaShechina, but it's more than that. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, which we have here, explains that once the Beis HaMikdash was created, built, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, on the bottom of page 2, Kivin Shenivda HaMikdash B'Yerushalayim, Nesru Kol HaMekomos Kulan Livnos Mehen Bayis LaShem. Once this Beis HaMikdash was built, there could never be a Bama, never be an altar that was outside of it, Lahakar Vem Karban. The Ainsham Bayas Ladore Doros Alibirushalayim Bilvad Ubaharha Moriyashaba. A very fascinating formulation. Rambam doesn't just say the only Beis HaMikdash could be was on Hara Moriyah. He says the Beis HaMikdash needed to be situated in Yerushalayim on its Hara Moriyah. Hara Moriyah and the Beis HaMikdash belong to Yerushalayim, which means that Yerushalayim isn't just the extended orbit of the Mikdash, but Yerushalayim is the framework that contributes to the Mikdash. Indeed, the Rambam's view is that it goes in both directions. When the Mishnah speaks about differences between Mikdash and Medina, you blow shofar on Shabbos in the Mikdash, says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, not in the Medina. You pick up the lulav min haTorah all 7 days in the Mikdash, not in the Medina. Another Mishnah in Sukkah. Rashi interprets Mikdash in both cases, Beis HaMikdash. Medina, anything outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam, we have it here, I believe, in Pirush Mishnayos, in both cases, says that the word Mikdash also connotes the last entry on page 4, Pirush Mishnayos, Rambam, Sechad, Rosh Hashanah, Kvar Biyarnu Pamim, Ki Mikdash Tikarei Yerushalayim. U Medina, Shar Ayaros Shebechol Eretz Yisrael. So we see even within the Rambam, Mikdash impacts Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim impacts on Mikdash. We've already seen the relationship to Eretz Yisrael. I think, however, that the answer is very simple. Basically, Yerushalayim is a chiddush in its own right. It's its own kedusha. But what's unique about it is exactly the integration of the more extreme themes of Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael. In most cultures, the idea of, you know, the good of the collective and individual aspiration are conflicting ideals. That's why you have different kinds of society, capitalist societies and socialist societies, just to speak about from an economic point of view, but the issue isn't only economic, the issue relates to all aspects of culture. The Chiddush of Yadus is that there is no such division. There may be tensions and need for dialectic, but basically, true Kedusha, the idea of a Mokom HaShem Yivchar Hashem, Yerushalayim is the wedding of, the integration of, these two ideas. Yerushalayim is crucial for the Mikdash. Yerushalayim is crucial to Eretz Yisrael. A collective consciousness, a focus on the Tzibur, which doesn't allow for individual growth and even for individuals to achieve an elitist standard of Kedusha, as long as it's accessible, is a society, is a collective, is a Tzibur, which is flawed. On the other hand, focus on individual aspiration and the utilization of the Tzibur only as a means, as a framework to achieve that end, is obviously very self-promoting, self-aggrandizing, not consistent at all with the idea of Mamleches Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh. Yerushalayim is the integration of both of these ideas. Indeed, Yerushalayim lo niskalka l'shvatim. There's a debate in the Gemara whether or not Yerushalayim was ever divided among the Shvatim or not. It's already late, so I don't have time to go into this, but it's very fascinating. There is much discussion about the relationship between Yerushalayim lo niskalka l'shvatim and the Beis HaMikdash lo niskalka l'shvatim. The Baalei Tosfos and Bava Kamma explain that when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, it's conceivable that one could achieve a unified ownership through Dinei Mamonos, just by buying out the real owners with the money of Klal Yisrael. However, Tosfos says, for Yerushalayim, that's not going to work. For Yerushalayim, if it was initially divided, then you can't reacquire it and thereby have it connected to all of Klal Yisrael. That's what Tosfos says. The other Rishonim would disagree, the Ritva in Yuma among them, but that's what Tosfos says. And it's very strange. If one can achieve collective connection to Klal Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash through Dinei Mamonos, why can't one achieve the same thing in Yerushalayim? But in the Chiddush HaGriz, Brisker Rav in Hilchos Beis HaBechira explains that really there are two separate ideas here. If you're talking about Hamakom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha, Kedushas Hamakom, which is what Yerushalayim is talking about, when we talk about Yerushalayim and Nischalka, then what we're saying is it had to be that way originally, because it's not about monetary ownership or access. It's about Klal Yisrael. It's about the structure of Klal Yisrael. It's about the concept of collective ownership, which was determined at the time of Yerusha and Chalukah. Those after the 14 years when they initially went into Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash one could have in addition to that idea, or separate from that idea, the idea of access for every individual. Every individual member of Klal Yisrael is a monetary owner of the Beis HaMikdash and therefore has rights in the Beis HaMikdash. I think the reason that this may be so, without being able to elaborate, is because Yerushalayim isn't only about access for each individual, it also integrates the idea of total collective ownership. What Eretz Yisrael was before the Yerusha v'Chalukah. So that basically what we have is the Beis HaMikdash, one theme, Eretz Yisrael another. Yerushalayim integrates both, and that's reflected by this idea of collective ownership, which may explain, we wouldn't have time to go into any more detail, many other issues of the discrepancies between Kedushas Yerushalayim, Kedushas HaMikdash. It's just fascinating that in the Mishnah and Kalim, as I mentioned before, almost all the, aside from Eretz Yisrael, all the examples or expressions of the Kedusha are elitist. You can't come beyond this point unless you have this level of Tahara, unless you're this kind of individual, Kohen, Kohen Gadol. Yerushalayim, Shekein Ochlin Bahem, Kadshim Kalim, Umayisu Sheni. Like Eretz Yisrael, it's about what you can accomplish there. And when you think about it, what is Maisa Sheni and Kadshim Kalim? It is Kadshim for every individual. It's the opportunity, especially if you take Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa, but every individual can come to Yerushalayim and eat the Maisa Sheni. It's exactly the merging of the themes of the Mikdash together with the broader idea of Eretz Yisrael. And if this is the case, then we can really appreciate that Yerushalayim's independent Kedusha is a legacy to Klal Yisrael. The word Yerushalayim itself is made up of Yer'eh and Shalem. Medrash tells us, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Hotzi Lechem B'yayin, right? He was the great harmonizer, peacemaker. That's the Shalem part of Yerushalayim. But the first part of Yerushalayim is the word Yer'eh, referring to the Akedah. the single greatest act of surrender and Mesiras Nefesh, the Avramon Goyim, Avram Avinu, right, who began it all with the first natural born Jew, Yitzchak, the Korban, the Ola Tamima, that took place on Har Moriah in the place of the Mikdash, and that becomes the basis for stamping the Mokom HaSheyivchar Yerushalayim Yir'eh Shalem. And Neder says beautifully that, you know, there was some talk about calling Yerushalayim Yir Shalem, but they said, what are we going to do about the Akedah theme? So maybe we should call it Yir Yireh or Yeraeh, but what about the theme of Malkitzedek? And that's why they compromised, but they didn't really compromise. They just moved to a higher ambition, Yir'eh Shalem Yerushalayim. And therefore, we're told that when a person goes to a wedding and he's Mesameh Chasan V'Kala, it's Ki'iluch Boneh Achas Michurvos Yerushalayim. We don't speak about the Beis HaMikdash. We speak about Yerushalayim. Because when a couple is building a home, basically what they're doing is taking their individual strengths and they're putting together and creating an indivisible and integrated collective. The purpose isn't to lose their individuality, it's to enhance their individuality, but also to create something that is more than the sum of its parts. And that's exactly what Yerushalayim is, the theme which fuses the Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we're also told that Yerushalayim represents a cultural legacy. Kesari v'Yerushalayim, v'yom alecha adam, chor v'shtayim, al tamim. Yoshu Shteyem Al Tamin. Somebody tells you that Caesarea and what it represents and Yerushalayim are both thriving, or that neither are thriving, don't believe them. It's a cultural struggle, the Dore Doros. Chorva Caesari, Yoshua Yerushalayim, Chorva Yerushalayim, the Yoshua Caesari, Tamin. Essentially, there was a great opportunity 40 years ago to capitalize on the return and reunification of Yerushalayim. Unfortunately, and ironically, cruelly ironically, divisions and fragmentation in Klal Yisrael has very much gotten in the way. And there have been, as I said before, tremendous attainments that can be built upon, but it's important that we revisit this theme, that we do whatever we can to revisit that special kol do dido fake opportunity which existed right after 1967. We live in a generation in which we have the schus to have a Yerushalayim, and to remember still that it's not something to be taken for granted. And therefore, we should, as much as possible, not only support Yerushalayim and its political future, but for each and every one of us and for the Klal as a whole, we should ensure that it really is the capital of the Jewish people. The final words I want to leave you with, the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem, which tells us that in the final moments of Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, we of course mention Yerushalayim, and I think understandably. May we too deserve and merit this bracha. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosenzweig, very much for joining us this morning. Again, this was hopefully a great close to the neshama of Mr. Wolf Rotenberg, Alav HaShalom. We want to just reiterate that next